Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Ain't Files, stories of the paranormal and those that ain't. I am your host, Ran Rozier, as always, and with me, the consummate flinger of half-truths, Doyle Dylan Pinnick. Dylan, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. Just excited to just talk about all the half-truths I have about.
You've got a lot of half-truths. If you added up all your half-truths, you might get one whole truth, I feel like. So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, maybe one of these episodes.
Yeah, there you go. Anything going on? Again, ladies and gentlemen, this is COVID times. Not a lot happening. I watched, I've watched Die Hard for the fifth time this December. It's still as good as it always is.
Is it a Christmas movie?
It is absolutely. I think that argument is done. No one thinks that's not a Christmas movie. They have a Christmas party in the movie.
So I mean, by Hallmark terms, that's definitely a Christmas movie.
Hallmark, get your shit out of here. A Christmas movie is defined, ladies and gentlemen. I'll just say this really quick. If the holiday or Christmas movie or any holiday movie is defined by if the holiday makes an impact on the plot. Now, in Die Hard, why is he at Nakatomi Plaza? Because his wife's having a Christmas party. So all of that would not have happened if Christmas had not been a part of the plot. I rest my case. You agree?
So is Harry Potter a Christmas movie? Sorry, we're getting off topic. Let's get back to
it. No, I think this is important. It is not a Christmas movie. Screw you. All right, let's go. Okay, so today we're talking about one of the, most infamous lost civilizations of all time. Of course, we're speaking of the city of Atlantis. Now, I think growing up, I'll ask you first, Doyle, what was your conception of Atlantis growing up? What did you have in your head when you were a kid?
So I read in elementary school, I read 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
You read the whole book?
Yeah.
That's bullshit. No adult has ever even read that book, especially not you, but continue, I guess.
So my first introduction to Atlantis was that book, which is that it still is was a thriving city underwater.
See that? Okay. So that was my conception. I thought the myth was that somewhere, I guess, out in the mid-Atlantic, off the coast of Europe, essentially, there was a thriving city underwater of, like, the Naboo, or what are they called in Star Wars? The Gungans. I thought it was like the Gungans in Star Wars with Jar Jar Binks, and I thought there was just a bunch of people living underwater. They wanted nothing to do with the outside world, and they were fine. But that's not quite the case, is it? Is that, like, it's different than what we thought, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, as you grew up and learned more about history and stuff like that.
Where did I get that from? I guess it's just Jules Verne. Is that it?
I mean, that's how he depicts it. The Disney movie depicts it that way. Although we kind of went over pre-production that you've never seen that movie, which is ridiculous.
I haven't, and I think I have not missed anything from not seeing Atlantis, the animated movie, but maybe I'll check it out. After talking about this, maybe I'll check it out.
What do you want me to blow up?
Excuse me?
That's a great line from the movie.
Oh, they say that? Okay. And then they blow something up, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Fun. That's fun. That's fun for kids, blowing things up and killing people. I like that.
Their theory is kind of on the Jules Verne storyline where it's like they go down in like a volcano and it's under, like, they figured out a way to hide their city under.
Right.
It's their theory is that they dig under the earth to find Atlantis because Atlantis is like hidden itself from the
outside world. It's under land. Like, it's not even in the ocean. There's like a water cavity somewhere where they. Yeah.
It's either Greenland or Iceland.
I see.
Is where their theory, Michael J. Fox's character, is trying to find it.
Gotta love Michael J. Fox. All right, I might just watch it for that fact alone, because I think he just formally retired. So maybe I'll have to catch that one.
And I haven't even, no spoilers on this podcast yet. So there's a twist.
Oh, that's exciting. All right, maybe now you're really selling me on it. So anyway, I'll tell you guys, up until maybe this researching for this episode, that was my conception of Atlantis. Or I did know, well, we'll get into it, but I did know the origins of it, or the origins of the myth. So do we want to get into like how this myth started? Do you want me to start it off with just like the basics, or do you want to go into it?
I mean, I'll start. I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
Plato and the his story of the Republic. Some say that Atlantis is used as a metaphor, but he described
an allegory.
That's the allegory of a cave. That's
no. He made an allegory is a thing, and he used Atlantis as an allegory.
It's a metaphor.
It's basically a metaphor. I was being pedantic, but okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Plato writes, in a single day and night of misfortune, the island of Atlantis disappears into the depths of the sea. But he also goes on to like describe it like in detail, how it's laid out, how big it is, where it's at, how they were like a city that was so like far advanced past everybody else that it's, you know, it's kind of a shame that like it got lost because of some natural disaster.
Now, so that's that part of that. And then as well, he also states that it was run by half human, half gods. The city was lined with gold and precious jewels. Like it was the perfect, what people would think is the perfect utopia, but they ended up going to war with Athens, essentially. And and Athens beat them in that war. See, I don't know. You have to correct me if I'm wrong. Does he say that it became a lost city in his work? Or does he say that?
He literally says, in a single day and night of misfortune, the island of Atlantis disappeared into the depths of the seas.
See, because I thought, thought there was a thing where he was trying to outline that a republic, like you said, he wrote the Republic, and that Athens as a republic, even against this great empire that is Atlantis, they were able to defeat them in military war combat.
I probably need to check up on my Plato about that part, but
we can disregard that. Okay. So anyway.
He does address like it's Poseidon had five male twins, one of them being Atlas, who was the king, and then the other nine kind of took power over the city of Atlantis, which was divided up equally amongst them.
Right.
So he does say, like you said, they're like half human, half god, Hercules.
They're some kind of halfsy, yeah. Like you, as you like to say, yes.
Don't say halfsy. Dang it, that's my line.
I know, sorry.
But yeah, so he talked about it. It's kind of crazy. He talked about it like 2,000 years ago. And because of how famous all of his other work was, I think that's why the history of Atlantis continued, is because people studied Greek philosophers and Plato's, you know, he squeezed Atlantis in there. And now 2,000 years later, we're talking on a Zoom meeting about whether or not this is a real place.
Now, this is an official podcast. We wouldn't be on Zoom. That's insane. But it is funny. Like, he did squeeze this in here. And I do think it is a metaphor. I personally think it was just a metaphor for a utopian society that he was comparing to Greece and or at like Athens, the city. In his calculations of the size of this city of Atlantis, he said it was as big as Libya and Asia combined. That would be I don't know where he got I think he's just throwing that out there. So like I'm not going to use that as to debunk Atlantis as a thing, but that's a bit over the top. That's gigantic for him to say.
I also don't think that at that time they might have known.
They had no conception of
how big Asia is.
Right, right. That's fair. I didn't know they even knew Asia existed at that point. Did you?
I don't know. When did Marco Polo happen?
Way later than that. This is BC. Marco Polo was like the 1200s or something. I don't quote me, people. I don't know when it was.
Yeah, like, I mean, the fact, like, Libya.
Like, it's so weird that he references Libya, too. This is a direct quote from the book. He says, bigger than Libya and Asia combined. That might be a small side note. I just wanted to throw it in.
But, like, Libya could have meant a completely different thing of that.
Well, true. You're probably correct.
There's a map from around, like, 2500 BC that I need to look at again. But it has Atlantis on there. And maybe it has Libya on there.
It has it weirdly spelled with an E at the end rather than an I, right? Like it's like on the far left corner, it says Atlantis or something.
Yeah, which is, you know, if you look at maps from like 500 years ago, there's weird spelling of countries.
Sure, that wasn't me trying to disregard
maybe,
it.
Maybe Plato just got the spelling wrong from the oral history. Because
I wasn't saying that. I was just saying what it actually says. I wasn't saying that was disregarding it, but okay.
Because the history of how he got it is from a guy named...
Oh, yeah. Go into that. Yeah.
Solon, who was a relative of his and is another famous Greek philosopher. His stuff's not as well known. The only reason why it's known is because of Plato's writing. And he's a couple hundred years older. So this is like a family story that's being passed down, but supposedly he got the story from Egypt.
Right. Yeah. So apparently that, like,
is why it's like 9,000 years old. Like Plato addresses that it's 9,000 years before, you know,
his time. Basically.
Yeah. 50 BC.
Yeah. There were, so like, that's part of it where Plato talks about Solon, who was a relative who had basically, he had passed down this story from generation to generation. It was an oral story. It was never written down about Atlantis. It was this kind of known thing for thousands upon thousands of years. But it's that digs into the validity of it, but I don't know. Because we don't even know, people... This Solon character, people want question if he even existed. I believe he did, but he doesn't have many works to go off of. He's kind of like Jesus. So most historical figure people. No, just kidding. Doyle is looking up things right now, ladies and gentlemen. He is.
We're staying on. We're
googling away.
I'm trying to find that map.
I'll say this about what Plato said in the book. He was crystal clear about where Atlantis was. He basically said it was on an island larger than Libya and Asia, like I said earlier. And it was at the Strait of Gibraltar. It's like which is the mouth of the Mediterranean. So he said a gigantic island was right at the mouth of the Mediterranean. Never been found. So that's where I stake my claim that it is not a real place. It was a metaphor for a utopian society.
And I think that's kind of where like Disney kind of like speared off, was like, oh, well, it's this giant island of like Greenland or Iceland or.
Oh, I see. So they think, okay. They think it's under, in that movie, they thought it was under Greenland and or Iceland.
Yes. Whichever one the Mighty Ducks don't play.
Yeah, because Greenland, which one is the really big one? I think Greenland is.
Iceland's.
Oh, Iceland is. You're right. You're right. Iceland's the bad one. Yeah, I learned this from Mighty Ducks. Iceland's the nice one.
Iceland's always green, and Greenland's always ice.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I don't know.
So, I mean, it is an interesting, like, theory that, you know, was, like, it, I mean, you, we talked about, like, I mean, you mentioned Jesus, but, like,
hell yeah, Jesus.
Those, the, like, the Bible's so old that people, when you think about it, like, it's like, what if it actually happened, and what if it was, like, a metaphor, and how to interpret it. I think the same rules can be applied with, like, Plato's work. It's like,
okay,
how much of it is him telling you exactly what happened, and how much of it is him trying to, like, write metaphorically and to teach people about these kind of political ideas that he was trying to, like,
right. No, well, absolutely. I mean, like you said, Jesus, that's what he did with his parables. And a lot of the stories in the Bible, so you and I earlier talked about the great flood. Okay. The flood where Noah had to take animals two by two. We all know the story, but that is documented in almost every civilization on earth. So that likely happened in some form. And then you have a kind of a different view, which I think is equally valid, but you can go ahead with that one.
Yeah. Well, so back then, if something flooded, like if we had one of these bad floods that we have nowadays, and they're like, you know,
like a Katrina.
Yeah. Katrina. Hey, the state of Louisiana is, like, flooding from this hurricane. Well, back then you wouldn't have known. Like, there's no updates, there's no news, there's no, like, it's as far as you can get in a boat, or as far as you can walk or run. And so seeing that, you wouldn't be able to know how far away the flood is. So,
right, you would just think the earth is just being swallowed up by water, essentially, which so caused people to write these stories.
And, you know, as long as people were around, odds are somewhere near them flooded at some point.
Sure.
Because people were always around water at the beginning of, like, civilizations.
Yeah, for sure. So do you want to get, like, so we looked into the Atlantis thing a little bit more, and we found that there are some theories on what it could be. It is, a lot of people project that it was, there is a place in Africa, Northwest. Is it Northwest? Yeah, Northwest, yeah. Africa. So do you want to get into that? I can't remember what it's called.
So it's, some people refer to it as the Eye of Africa, or the Rickard, which is spelled really weird. It's R-I-C-H-A-T.
Well, that would be Rick. I think it's Richat or Rickat.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm not sure either, but go ahead.
There's a YouTube guy named Bright Insight, and he goes in, like, extreme details. He's got, like, I think it's 3 or 4 YouTube videos on it. But if you search it on Google Maps, it's pretty cool, because it is literally in the middle of the desert. It is just it's exactly what Plato said. It's like two pieces of land surrounded by 3 circles of water, if you were to fill it in.
Right.
And his theory is that, like, if this did happen 9,000 years before Plato, they haven't done enough studies in the area to tell what kind of, like, changes in the earth there are. So, like, something caused, whether it was natural or man-made, this, like, perfect cylinder that you can see from outer space, of, like, literally in the middle of nowhere in the Sahara. And he has all these connecting pieces of, like, the local people there who live in Morocco, and nowadays in the countries in Northwest Africa. They're kind of spread out, like, their ancestors their story of their beginning of their people, their first king was King Atlas.
They say that?
Correct.
The locals of this area around. So I'll reiterate what Dole was saying. This is a series of concentric circles in the desert. If you look at Google Maps, like you said, and you see a satellite view, it's like a circle. It's a perfect circle, then another circle, then another circle. I think it's just completely kind of a coincidence. I do not think, if you look at the map, it doesn't look like it's quite close enough to the coast of Africa for 9,000 years, for it to have been washed up in, I don't know how to describe this. It doesn't look like it could have been pushed to the surface, shall I say. Like, apparently this Atlantis was a city surrounded by water. And where this is pretty mainland Africa.
Yeah, it's about 150 miles off the coast. And the YouTube guy's theory is that because of the Earth shifting, it kind of pushed it up a little bit.
Like I said to you earlier, though, typically we hear about water levels rising. They're continuously rising. We talked about Venice. Venice is slowly sinking. That could be a real Atlantis. There's a country in the South Pacific called Tuvalu, the least traveled country in the world. Everybody get out there real quick because it's gonna be gone soon. But it is slowly sinking into the depths. For a country, what I don't get, and maybe I don't know enough about science, but how did supposed Atlantis in this Rakat structure rise up above sea level and get into mainland Africa? You know, that's where I'm not asking you specifically, but
yeah, because do I look like a geologist?
Well, I want you to give me specific answers, and I want science right now. Tell me. Go. No, I'm kidding.
It happened during the Ice Age, so all the ice just pulled all the ocean water out, and then the waters were a lot higher. That's my theory.
The Ice Age thing's actually not a bad theory, because a lot of weird shit was happening then, where once the Ice Age ended... No, you're wrong. Once the Ice Age ended, all the ice melted, and then it would have raised the water levels again. So it should be completely gone by now. But anyway.
Half truth.
All right, fair enough. That's another half truth. He's almost to one, ladies and gentlemen. He's almost to one.
But King Atlas, apparently I'm on their Wikipedia page, and he was in credit. He's from around the same time as Plato. That's the only...
Who is? Remind everybody. Who?
King Atlas, who was, you know, in that.
Oh, who those people reference.
Yes. Okay. Who's like, he's a legendary king from, you know, 200 BC, 300 BC.
Now that's not far enough, because.
That's a little half-truth from our buddy Bright Insight.
I was going to say, because. According to legend and according to Plato, the only source for Atlantis that we have, Atlantis would have existed in the year, 1500 BC, because he wrote that book in 250 BC, so 900 years before that.
Oh, that was 9,000.
Oh, wait, what did I say?
900.
Shoot. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I said 9,000.
We do podcasts, not math.
Yeah, that's true, yes. So wait, what year would it be? You can do that quick math, can't you?
Yeah, it'd be 9,200 BC.
See, I'm gonna be honest with everybody. I didn't know we had like modern civilizations at that point.
That's the thing about Atlantis. That's how like crazy it was.
Oh my God, it's real.
I mean... the thing that I believe that like it could be real is more of the fact that like every single year we find something new from ancient like civilizations. We find, you know, stuff that we thought were myths.
Here comes the ancient aliens bullshit, everybody.
It was aliens, man. I tell you, it was aliens.
Aliens were running Atlantis, and they wiped it off the face of the earth so we would never find out that they were here. No, go ahead. Sorry. Sorry, Duel.
So, like, every year we find out something new, a little bit, you know, more information, and they find places that they thought were, you know, just like myths, or I think like Troy.
Well, give me, okay. Yeah. I was going to say, give me an example. So Troy, that was a story in Greek mythology, or I think, yeah, Greek mythology.
Yeah. Where Brad Pitt
was there. He was definitely there.
And he fights for the blonde girl.
Yep. Yep. Orlando Bloom. I think he was back then. Yeah. I can't remember.
Legolas.
Yep. And all right, so what's the truth though? Did they find evidence of this of Troy, or of that battle, or what are you saying?
Yeah, Troy's a real place.
Oh, okay. The place, yeah, of course, yeah, okay.
And the battle's like
Thermopylae? What is it?
The battle's real too.
No, well, what battle was it? The Peloponnesian War?
The Trojan War.
Okay. Sorry, everybody. Like I said, the Trojan War. Yes, of course.
So they found, so that was like a real place that they found, that everyone up until they found it thought it was just like a story of, you know, of some great warriors. And it was kind of like used as like an urban myth kind of.
Sure. It's sort of like the 300 myth, where it's like, I think historians at this point it is true that Xerxes, the Persian king, fought off a group of 300 Spartans. Because that was actually a myth before it was certified as like this likely happened, you know?
So why can't Atlantis be certified as something
because none of what Plato says about it, the timing, any of the geography, other than a Google Earth shot that you have of some circular region, that's the only thing we've got right now. Okay.
So it actually did go underwater, then like,
yeah, wait a second. Here's the funny part about that, about the thing being in Morocco and this Rakat structure. Again, everybody, that was there's like three rings. If you go on Google Maps, just type in R-I-C-H-A-T and you'll find it. But it looks weird, but it's like, there's nothing there. That doesn't tell me, it's way mainland Africa. That is not... It doesn't sound anything like, other than a few descriptions Plato stated about Atlantis. So, what were you saying?
So, if it's actually like something in the ocean or the Mediterranean Sea, or
I wish
we just like, what if we just like haven't found it yet?
It'd have to be so. If it's an, let's say it's an ancient society that Plato, that around 9,000, let's. Whatever, 10,000 years ago, okay, that sank into the ocean, we would readily, with sonar and the kind of technology we have right now, easily find that. We have found those cities. Again, I don't know if I referenced in this podcast, but Pavlo Petri, okay, it is a Greek island that went underwater. It's 5,000 years old. It is one of the oldest submerged lost cities. There's not really anything interesting about what happened. They're not sure why it sank. But now, to your point, is that Atlantis? Maybe.
Could be.
Maybe Plato got the years wrong. But it's not known as like this really like technologically advanced city with fucking gods running the place. Like, I don't think.
Well, the point that you just made about Plato being wrong about the like timeline, like
he doesn't know.
How does he know that like 9,000 years when
he doesn't even know what a year is? Like that old fart.
I mean, like it's only been 2,000 years since he like died. And like Egypt had only been around the, you know, prehistoric Egypt, history of Egypt is around like 3000 BC. So that's right. 3000 years before him. So wow, like,
that's actually really weird to think about.
That like beginning society of Egypt was 5000 years ago.
Well, I just think I had this weird conception for a long time, maybe through school, where human beings have been in the state we essentially are right now, not Neanderthals, for about 10,000 years. Wait, I guess that still fits.
It does. Boom.
I'm an idiot.
First city is Atlantis.
Thank fuck we killed those Neanderthals. Am I right about that?
I mean, no.
They were bad news, people.
But like Mesopotamia is 10,000 years. So like
that's like the earliest. That's the earliest modern, or not modern, but advanced civilization of all of this era.
Correct. So like, to be honest, it could be like something like that. Like that's the story that he heard about, and it could be something over there.
Oh, interesting. That's an interesting theory right there. That he was thinking of another civilization. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, and he just decided to name it Atlantis based on like it's a giant game of it's a 9,000 year game of telephone.
Right. Where it really is.
Not everyone knew how to read and write, but everyone knew how to talk, and they just like continuously spread the word of like this great city that was technologically advanced further than everybody else.
My issue is with the technologically advanced thing, because it makes it seem like, oh, well, we were going to be so much more advanced now if we had just had this civilization. If only they'd survived, you and I would be in jetpacks right now and flying cars and so on and so forth. It's like, what technological advancements did they really have? Does he go into do you have any idea about that or no? Like Plato doesn't go into the technological advancements, does he?
No, he doesn't. And
see, that motherfucker.
Like the Disney movie talks about like they have like powers because they were like gods.
Right.
Like and they're all like really old. So like,
oh, they're like 1,000 years old, but they look like they're 18 or something.
Yeah, like so.
Give me a fucking break, Disney. All right, sorry.
So like the people remember leaving, like they remember the big flood and like,
oh, okay,
going to like their new place under the earth.
Right.
And so it's just another thing where it's like, you either hope it's real or you don't until somebody finds something.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm for one on the boat of finding something. That'd be
Wait. Okay. So let's I think we've gone through the only other, well, I'll save this for a minute, but so where do we stand? What's your percentage on Atlantis as a civilization buried in the ocean? Well, it could not be buried in the ocean. It might be in Africa, but as a civilization existing.
33% repeating.
33.
Yeah, repeating, of course.
Yeah, well, that goes without saying. But so for me, I'd say it's about 10% that Atlantis existed. And I'll say it's about 22% that Plato had heard about another civilization, and then he just changed the name to make his stupid book sound better. So that's where I stand on Atlantis. It's fun. I'll tell you this, getting into the real nitty gritty of this myth, I actually kind of liked it better when I was a kid, where I thought it was just a civilization living under the water. And there's like people living their lives underwater in these like big bubbles or something.
That's
ridiculous. That was more fun.
That's ridiculous. That doesn't exist.
That's what I wish exists though. And I'm going to give that a 90% exist, because it does. And I know those people are, no, just kidding. Like I said, that's the Gungans. Okay. Everybody hates on Jar Jar Binks, but he's got a perfect society. They were away from the trials and tribulations of Naboo. We all know the story. Okay. Everybody knows the story.
Yeah. Pretty much. Disney, and Disney's going to shove it down your throat if you don't.
That's true. They will. They own all that shit now, so they will very much will. But, all right. So what we're we were going to talk about some movies and films that rely on the Atlantis myth. You talked about the Atlantis movie. I weirdly brought up Star Wars Episode One several times. That doesn't, but okay.
I mean, you got to think that George Lucas kind of stole that from.
Sure. Yeah, he had to. Okay. Little note to everybody. George Lucas has stolen everything he's ever done. And I love the man. But anyway.
But yeah, I mean, it's. I mean,
what other one were we talking about?
Jules Verne's like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, that the book and then the movie.
Yeah.
There's like a whole chapter in the book that's devoted to like where they like go to Atlantis and they like dock
and right.
They go there in the movie that's from like the 50s. It's in Technicolor.
I talked about the Abyss, where this can go on another tangent, where in the Abyss, it's obviously about a crew that goes into, they're a deep sea exploration crew with a military component on board. One of the guy gets the bin.
That's how they get funding.
True. The guy from the Terminator gets the bins. He kind of goes crazy. But in the end, spoiler, everybody, if you haven't seen The Abyss, skip to, just don't listen to this last part. They run into an alien craft and an alien that has been living for some time under the ocean. That seems to be... That's what I really think is going on. I don't think Atlantis exists. I think there are aliens that have either been grown on Earth. That wouldn't be an alien, would it?
There's your ancient alien theory. That's
my ancient alien theory is that they landed here a millennia ago and they're just sitting in the ocean, baby.
Well, that's
biding their time.
The other theory is that like Atlantis was like, and this is like deep. This is like legitimately like probably an episode of Ancient Aliens.
That's fine. That's fine. Go for it.
And like they showed up and Atlantis was like aliens and they didn't get destroyed. They just like moved from like civilization to civilization. To like
who did, wait. Say, so who did?
The Atlanteans. The aliens? That's who the gods like they always
reference. Okay.
Is that the gods were actually aliens and they like that's how Egypt made pyramids and the Mayans and everybody is that.
And that's why the Roman and Greek gods are very, very similar, but they just have different names or something.
Yeah, I mean that's legitimately like an ancient alien. Like they're on their 10th season of the show.
They gotta get more material, man. I mean, they gotta keep coming up with it. But that is interesting.
So,
all right, did we have any other? Well, what was another movie where they find an underwater city? We talked about The Road to El Dorado. That is another famous lost city.
That's another.
Joel, do you want to go through that plot?
I would love for that. That'll probably be a future episode to go
right
down into El Dorado. But yeah, I mean, the Lost City of Gold was basically when Spanish conquistadors that was what they were searching for, was this, you know, jackpot of a city.
Why did they think that that city existed in the first place? Really quick.
Because, you know, they heard from the first guy that went over there that talked to like Native Americans and,
okay,
indigenous people that they found a lot of gold. And so like the rumor was, you know, deep in the jungles there's actually like a city where like they just had so much gold they just built everything out of it.
Right. Okay.
That was the material of abundance for that city.
Yeah.
That's a great movie, though.
I think I need to watch it. Yeah, I did not realize I haven't seen it. I've seen bits and pieces of it over the years, but I haven't seen it fully since I was a kid, I feel like. All right, so the last thing I think we were going to kind of discuss, and this is probably an obvious answer, and I think you and I talked about it a little bit, but what is the psychology behind wanting these civilizations to exist? Why do we want El Dorado to exist? Why do we want Atlantis to exist? What, because it's out, because it's a mystery, just the basic thought behind it?
Because no one, like, it's kind of crazy because it's like no one can prove like that it doesn't. Like, there has to be.
It's kind of like the theory of God. It's like no one can prove that wrong, so it's just a constant quest to find it.
Yeah, and it's kind of, it's just who, like, there's got to be a reason that the story happened in the first place.
Well, it was, I'll tell you again, it was Plato, and he wanted to have a metaphor for a utopian society, so he wrote it in his book. He made it up, but hey, I don't know.
To all of our podcast listeners, that's me rolling my eyes at Rand right now.
He really did. He rolled his whole head, actually. His head went back. I don't know what happened.
I was disgusted.
Oh, okay.
You asked for an answer. I gave you an answer.
That's fair. Like, look, go ahead.
It's kind of weird how detailed the story is that Plato, even if he like wrote, and the fact that like you can trace where the story's like origins are, they go deeper than Plato.
I will agree with that. And I think the classic thing they tell you when you're like in trouble at school is like, the more details you give, the more they won't believe it's a lie. So it's like, oh, it was 9 diameters and it was this big. And it's like, I both believe that he's trying to cover a lie, and also he may be telling the truth. So like in school, they said, where were you at 2 o'clock on Thursday? Well, I was with Cindy, and we had a Snickers candy bar. And so like, and you just go through this whole litany of lies to try and get the principal off your scent. That's what I think Plato was kind of doing, but he could have been telling the truth.
Yeah.
Does that example make sense at all?
Does, but and I think most people don't believe that, you know, Atlantis is real. I think that it's like a very select few that like kind of hold on to it. It's not like some of the other stuff like aliens. Like, I think even if people like don't believe we've made contact with aliens, they still believe that somewhere out in space, somewhere, sure,
there's aliens. Absolutely. Yeah.
But like,
I think most intelligent people believe that. Yeah, for sure.
But we just don't know so much stuff that like the Earth just destroys things, that like, even if there was a city of Atlantis, if there's a terrible natural disaster, it, you know, destroys it. And then the Earth over 12,000 years finishes it off. So like, there's not even anything.
I know. Yeah.
Especially if they're, I mean, even if they were advanced technologically for 10,000 BC, that just means that they were like better at making bricks.
Wheels.
Yeah. Maybe they had a wheel. Their farms were pretty good.
Yeah. That's the best they could do. Yeah, for sure. I know. I totally get what you're saying. I mean, this could have been that's a point we didn't even get into, but I'll end it on that. This could have been a civilization completely that was just wiped off the face of the earth from time. So yeah, I don't know. Atlantis, what do we think? We already gave our percentages, but it will always exist in our hearts and our minds. How about that?
In a single day and night of misfortune, the island of Atlantis disappeared into the depths of the seas.
I love it. Thanks, guys. This has been the Ain't Files, stories of the paranormal and those that ain't.